Led Zeppelin, hands down one of the iconic bands in rock and roll history. Guitarist Jimmy Page, its undisputed leader. But a man named Peter Grant played a crucial role in the band's legacy. Peter Grant was Led Zeppelin's manager, a larger-than-life character just as legendary as the band he worked for. Here and now's Alex Ashlock found his story in London.
Led Zeppelin recorded its first album and started playing shows together 50 years ago this fall.
The Marquee Club, which isn't far from where we're sitting now, really. The Marquee was where Zeppelin played one of their probably their very first London show in autumn 1968. And they went back and played there many, many times again.
Mark Blake has written books about The Who, Pink Floyd, and Queen, among other bands. His latest is about a man who made his name offstage. It's called Bring It On Home. Peter Grant, Led Zeppelin and Beyond, the story of rock's greatest manager. We met in London's Kensington Gardens.
But in Peter's case, Peter's whole music business career began and was played out where we are now. You know, 5 minutes from where we're sitting was the Cumberland Hotel in Marble Arch, which is where he first witnessed a smashed-up hotel room. That was Eddie Cochran and Gene Vincent had a row over a woman, and Gene Vincent tore the door off Eddie Cochran's hotel suite. First time Peter had ever seen anything like that. Manager phoned him, and he was absolutely outraged. He said to them, "We don't do things like that in Britain. You're in the United Kingdom now. We do not do that sort of thing." Fast forward 5 years, and he's got John Bonham smashing up a hotel suite with a billy club in America.
As a young man, Peter Grant worked as a bouncer. He did some acting. You can see him for a few seconds in Stanley Kubrick's 1962 film Lolita. Bearded and burly, he also made a few quid as a professional wrestler. His persona came in handy later when promoters or bootleggers tried to rip off his band. But Mark Blake says working as a theater stagehand is where Grant really learned how a performer hooks an audience.
Yeah, he learned how to do this at the place called the Croydon Empire, which was a variety of what you'd call in America like a vaudeville theatre. And that's what he was doing, looking at magicians, showgirls, balancing acts, ventriloquists, all these kinds.
Guys with spinning plates.
Guys with spinning plates, that's right. He later put a plate spinner on the same bill as Led Zeppelin in 1975. And that's where he learned about old-school show business. And from there, you know, he started driving acts around, you know, comedians, magicians, the same sort of artists. And then eventually, the visiting American rock and roll groups that came to the UK, Chuck Berry, Gene Vincent, Little Richard, Peter ended up being their driver and road manager.
In 1966, Peter Grant became manager of the Yardbirds. He found a kindred spirit in guitarist Jimmy Page. The Yardbirds fell apart in 1968, but Grant stuck with Page as he put together a new band.
I think what Peter had seen was that the music was going to go somewhere beyond 2.5, 3-minute pop singles. And a lot of what the Yardbirds were doing on stage in 1967, 68 was very, very close to what Led Zeppelin ended up doing. I mean, they were already doing versions of songs like Dazed and Confused.
So long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love.
The first two Led Zeppelin records both came out in 1969, while the band was touring constantly.
Yeah, the whole thing with Zeppelin happened very, very quickly, but it happened in America. Peter took them to America very, very early on. They were opening for other groups, Iron Butterfly, Vanilla Fudge, and basically blowing them off stage. It happened remarkably quickly, and they spent most of 1969 touring America. They'd come back for a few weeks and then go back again, playing these kind of opinion-making clubs all across the country. And when the album came out, the first Zeppelin album, it just absolutely blew up for them. So it happened incredibly quickly, but it happened in America first. But that also helped build the mystique. Suddenly they're this British band, this mysterious British band that had gone to America to find their fame and fortune. Also, they didn't release singles, and they did not appear on TV. And that was such a revolutionary move at the time. People thought it was career suicide. But it, again, this added to the mystique. You wanted to listen to the music, you had to buy a long playing record. If you wanted to see them, you had to pay and buy a concert ticket. You wouldn't see them on TV, and that was unheard of at the time.
And this was all Peter Grant's idea. He revolutionized really what it meant to be the manager of a rock and roll band.
I think this was Peter and Jimmy Page's idea together. But what Peter was fantastic at doing was being the enabler. If Jimmy said he wanted to do something, Peter would do it unquestioningly. And I think Peter understood the power of show business. And I think, again, those strange little lessons that he'd learned watching plate spinners at the Croydon Empire, he brought that into this new medium. He understood show business, and I think that included understanding the mystique of Led Zeppelin, creating an aura around them.
Peter Grant always put the band first. He worked for them, not the other way around. They did the music, he did the aura, and everything else. On the road, drugs were plentiful, hotel rooms were trashed, but Grant was always there to get the boys out of trouble.
When the money really starts to come in, which is around about 72, 73, by which time Led Zeppelin can get 90% of the gate, which was unheard of at any artist. It was normally 60-40 towards the artist. Peter demanded on 90-10, rode out the promoters, and obviously made an enormous amount of money for himself and the band. But with that came problems in his marriage, the excessive touring that was going on, plus cocaine had come into the mix, certainly by the early 70s, and Peter succumbed to that as well. And I think, in a way, the band, or certainly Peter and possibly Jimmy Page, they all got slightly drunk on their own power. And as a result of that, there was a, you know, there was an air of a real tangible air of menace around Led Zeppelin, around Peter. You talk to people that toured with them and knew them at the time, they were terrified of Peter and his entourage. And I think, again, that was something that worked to their advantage. But it brought a dark side, it cast a shadow, I think, over all this success.
Led Zeppelin broke up after drummer John Bonham, a notorious substance abuser, died in 1980. Grant, who always called Bonham his best mate, was devastated.
Measuring the summer's day, I only find it slips away to gray. The hours they bring me pain.
Never really recovered from that. He did dabble in management, but he spent a lot of time in the 1980s. He was with his kids, he was accessible to his children, but he spent a lot of time in the 1980s barricaded away in his moated 15th century mansion in the English countryside, ignoring everybody, ignoring phone calls. He was being looked after by various gophers and minders, some of whom perhaps didn't have his best interests at heart. He still made an enormous amount of money, but he was not really doing very much. And I think there was a tragic side to it. I think what redeems the Peter Grant story is that before he died, some years before he died, he got himself back on track again. And he did that by turning his back completely on the music business and just concentrating on being a family man. Stopped drinking, stopped taking drugs, and lost an enormous amount of weight as well. And that's how he spent the last few years. And I think that that's the redeeming part of the story. But there is a tragedy, definitely.
Peter Grant died in 1995 at the age of 60, the victim of a heart attack. In 2012, the Bristol Institute of Modern Music in the UK launched a scholarship in his name. His daughter Helen told author Mark Blake, "I don't know if you could ever teach what he knew, but the business owes him a lot." For Here and Now, I'm Alex Ashlaw.
The new book, Bringin' On Home, is out tomorrow. You can read an excerpt at herenow.org.